Y'all, we got our first sponsor. Bad Queers is sponsored by Orbitz. Ooh, ooh. We know you have to stay home again.
Again and still.
Still, currently, current status. But when it's time to travel, Orbitz has your back.
Visit orbitz.com/pride for LGBTQ+ friendly hotels and travel guides. Check out our episode description for your queer travel deals.
This is Shayna
and Chris,
and we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right, this week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have lesbian manicure. Lesbian manicure. Also known as the finicure or the queer manicure. It is a manicure set that accommodates for long nails, except for the index and middle fingers. So for the folks out there that want to have long nails, but want to accommodate a partner, you just leave your index and middle finger without a long nail, which is very thoughtful. It's very funny to me. Every time I see one, it warms my heart.
It makes me so happy when I see people out in the wild with it.
Honestly, I was thinking when I was typing up, it's one of the last true tales of like, oh, okay, queer fam. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's been, other things have been co-opted and everything where it's just like, oh, are they queer or not? You know, flannels are just big to everybody universally, but like a lesbian manicure or a queer manicure is like, nah, yeah, you are fam.
Hella fam. Like you went in and told your whole manicurist, like this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's very clever.
I'm here for it.
But my sentence is, she decided on a lesbian manicure to sport longer nails, but also avoid discomfort for her partner during sex. So lesbian manicure. If you don't know what that is, look it up. You'll see images of it.
It will come across in many pages.
Very much so. Very much so.
I had a friend who went and did it, and it was like her first time going to do it. And we had to like talk through how she was going to explain it to her manicurist. And I was like, you know, I feel like this happens way more than ever. Like, I feel like anybody who's working in a nail shop, like, just doesn't question when people ask for certain things. They're just like, yeah, I'm going to deliver.
Sure.
And that's what's going to happen.
That's two less fingers to do. So it's just, I mean, obviously you still get it painted and designed, but like no, like, you know, long nails because, you know,
safety first.
Looking out. That's really what it is. So, yeah, looking out. So.
All right. My Queer Urban Dictionary word for the week is folks. Folks with an X is there. Folks is used to recognize and respect the gender identities of those in the LGBTQ+ community without imposing an identity on them. So there's been a lot of like discussion on the fact that like folks LKS and folks LX, like they are saying that folks is already gender neutral. Why put the X on it? And it's mainly like within the community. If we put an X in things like when we put it in women, when we put it anywhere else, it's just like showing that there are different variations to people's identities. And it's just making it more inclusive. Like, I think the X is great. I have like no issue with it. It looks cool. You know, many things. So my sentence is, it costs no money to be gender inclusive. That's all, folks.
You did it. You did it like a Warner Brothers cartoon, too.
That was a plan. At the end. That was a plan. Okay. Who's a graphic designer who's listening that will make a That's All, Folks, but with the X? And then just like make the rings around it very queer. And please send that.
That's
to
cool. Yeah, that's actually a cool idea.
Please do all that. Folks. Send us.
It's one less letter, but I love writing folks. Like I just, with an X, like I just think it's fun. And I also just think maybe it should have just been spelled like that to begin with. But indeed.
They weren't very not up to me when words were coming around. So, I mean, here we are in today's day and age. So, evolving. Y'all, folks, folks, we are killing it with the guest game lately. Honestly, we're just having people on because we're going into February and we just want to talk a lot about dating and sex. So today we have special guest Shelly Nicole. Shelly Nicole is a Detroit-born, mermaid-fearing freelance writer. Shelly is a staff writer at Autostraddle, which is probably where you've seen her the most because she has a bunch of regular content that goes out there. Has written for Marie Claire, Hello Giggles, Bitch Media, Bustle, O School, and more.
All right. So nothing but great guests. Another great guest today. We're excited to have Shelly Nicole.
Shelly Nicole.
Auto Straddle and all the publications Shayna just mentioned in the intro. Over a little bit of a humble brag, Shelly wrote this really good review and article of us last July. That was really good. Check that out on Auto Straddle. But Shelly Nicole, welcome to the Bad Queers Podcast.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
We're kind of hype.
Yeah,
like, we're like low key hype that we're talking to you.
Oh, my God. You know what I thought you said? I thought you said kind of high. I was like,
What did you tell us this before getting on?
That was not in the doc. But right. okay.
Yeah, we're like, bring a joint, bring a pre-roll.
I'm not even low-key hype. I'm super happy and excited. This is such a cute moment for me. I'm very excited.
Full circle. Yeah, no, your content is amazing. We're going to get into that. But first, I have to ask, please explain this fear of mermaids. Like, where did this come from? Tell us the story.
It is about to be updated to Fearful of Mermaids and Teenagers, because those are my two biggest fears. Entire world. I don't know. So it was this thing of like, so I'm really big into film. A lot of people in my life like know that. I watch like legitimately like 20 films a week since I was a kid. But when I was a kid, I saw Splash.
I was gonna ask about Splash.
And you know, in like black homes, you had, remember those big, I'm a 90s baby, those big blocky TVs?
Like, oh yeah.
We had that in the basement, and because I was constantly unsupervised, I was always down there watching movies, and my parents would be like, she's fine, right? Yeah. And I'd be like, yeah, she's all right. Okay. But I would watch them this close, like sitting to it. And there's that scene in Splash, the bathtub scene where she, honey, mom.
Yeah, it was a little traumatic, because I was literally going to ask you, like, how does that affect like Splash or Little Mermaid? But no, that scene was a little traumatic.
Yes,
like,
it was traumatic. And then, and I was like right here, and I was like, that interest is not appealing to me. I'm going to opt out.
I feel like this is not my genre.
Mermaid. This is not.
Yeah.
And then I saw a Little Mermaid, and she's a kleptomaniac. I was just like, mermaids are not for me. I'm okay. And then I started like learning about the sea and just like how vast it is and how there's so much we don't know.
Like,
this is all coming together. And we're just going to go ahead and not even talk about it in therapy. It's just that I have decided no mermaids.
So, you're like, mermaids, are they good? And all that, like, that's the next, like, the headline. Are they good, though?
Pays me to write about it. I would be, because it's in my bio on my actual professional-ass website, my bios and all my social medias, and no one has, like, fired me or anything, so.
Right. I feel like it's just setting yourself up for Hallie, being in the Little Mermaid, and for you to cover that, and I just feel like this is set it up for this.
You think I haven't thought about that? Because I'm going to see that movie, right? I'm going to see that movie, and I'm going to support that little bitch like no one's business. But I am going to be back row. Well, we'll be at home probably, so I'll be on the other side of my apartment watching it.
You're doing like your laptop screen. Yeah. You don't even pick like the big screen. Right. You're just like, I'm just going to put a little.
I might
one over
even
here.
Buy it, stream it, and not watch it, but support it. Like,
right.
I can't be triggered. But that's
Have you gone back and watched Splash since then?
Like just I have tried to, because it's it's one of those things that are always on TV. And then I'm just like, why am I here? I don't want to do this to myself. Yeah. I have therapy one time a week. I'm not going to waste it on this. So
like, we're opting out of this discussion.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah, but I get it. Thanks, Daryl Hannah. But
what did the teenagers do to you?
I mean, teenagers are.
Is this like past tense teenagers, or is this like today's teenagers?
Oh no, this is today's teenagers. I live in Chicago, and pre-Rona, you know, I take public transportation, and everywhere that I've, all the apartments I have been by high schools. So like, have you ever gotten on a bus after high school lets out?
Oh my God. It really is.
Like, and don't have a book bag yourself, like as an adult, and you're just like, no, I'm not one of you. Like,
I'm just passing by, just commuting.
I'm just passing by. I'm trying to go home to my apartment. They are terrifying. And I have two teenagers in my life that are my niece and nephew. And one of them blocked me from Instagram because I was just not cool enough. I had to earn her respect. What? Auntie. What do you mean? Yeah. Fair enough, though. I was in her comments posting, like, I'm so proud of you. Lots of hearts.
That would do it.
Yes. Yeah,
so. She's like, instead of deleting my auntie's content comments, I'm just, you know, just a
like, she doesn't get the privilege to this.
Yeah. So teenagers are terrifying.
I was like, imagine a gangster.
Teenage mermaid. Like,
yeah.
No, thanks. We saw what happened to Ariel. She's a kleptomaniac. So it's just like,
she is. That's important to point out.
We know what's going to happen. So it's all there.
Oh, man. That's the best. But yeah, no, the bus in the afternoon with children is a whole different vibe.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's
scary. Their energy is on another level too after school. Like,
and it's like 2:46 p.m. Yeah. Why are y'all?
And they can smell the fear as well. So
you can really pick up on fear. Like, I'm fine. It's okay. No, it's okay. Right. You can sit here. Like, you can all crowd over me and yell at each other.
Yep, no problem. Like, I have no problem with boundaries or social space, but that's fine.
I don't. It's okay.
We're okay.
Sometimes I've like waited and been like too many teenagers and let the bus like pass by.
I do feel that way about toddlers, like where it's just like they could smell the insecurity, or the. I mean, obviously they'll just ask the most innocent questions, but it's just like,
but like coming for your soul.
Right. Okay. I was like, do I want to lower my self-esteem today or be around a child? Like, yeah, you know,
like I come in dressing like more, like I come in and like dress more androgynous or something. Yes. And they just come up and they're like, you a boy or a girl? And I'm like, who are you?
And I hate how they do those comments and they'll sit in your lap first, all cute. They're like, hi. And then they're just like, attack. And I'm like,
and they always seem to be loud. Like, is there a microphone on this child? Like, why is
literally
so loud?
The projecting is actually disrespectful.
Yeah, that's what it is too.
It's ridiculous. Like, four houses over, you can hear these questions. And you're like, right. Oh, someone's with a toddler.
Yeah, it's even worse when the parent is just like, well, like, answer my child's question. Like, oh my God. You know, there's some parents like, no, leave them alone. And the other one's like, well, my child asked
Timmy
a question.
Brings them over, but like, doesn't say anything. And like, you shouldn't say that to people, or no, don't ask those questions, right, or whatever. And they're like, why? It's also when they come back with the why. And
that is the key. The why is like, dude, I don't know. Like, do you want some care?
Right, exactly. I'm waiting for the day that my nephew is able to ask this. Like, he's like two, going on three in a couple months now, and he's speaking in like whole ass sentences.
Oh, no.
And I'm just waiting for the day that he decides to like come for my life.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's very sweet right now. But I'm like, once you turn three, I was like, you little fucker, you're gonna.
Yeah, especially in the summer, like at the park when they ask extra loud, and you're like, we're in public.
Like, I can't hit you. I can't hit you. Like, I can't take you doing whatever. It's just, shut the fuck up. Like,
like, you want to get on the swing or?
Right. Trying to redirect. And they're like, yeah, sure. And then on the swing, asking the question, like following back. I want to follow up on something I just asked.
Like, as per my last email. As per my, that's like what kids pull on you. As per my last email.
Exactly. Yeah, reattaching for clarity.
So funny. So funny. So you're here. So you're in Chicago now.
I'm in Chicago now, yeah.
How long have you lived there?
Oh, God. I lived in Chicago like 7-8 years, I think. Like, and I'm from Detroit. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So, what are like the biggest characteristic differences between Detroit queers and Chicago queers?
See, here's the thing. When I was like in Detroit, I didn't really have a queer circle. So, I didn't like find it, and I didn't really know where it was. I didn't know where to look. There was one place I had always heard of since I was a kid, which was like this gay bar called Menjo's, and that was it. Other than that, I was just like, I didn't have a lot of queer friends. So when I was in Detroit, I was I went to school in New York, and then after I went to school in New York, I moved home for 2 years to save, to like all that shit, and that was the time when I could have went out, but I didn't. But now, when I hear about it from people who live back, Detroit is a huge queer scene now. Like, there's like queer parties, there's bars. Because my cousin still lives there, and he has a huge queer circle. So I honestly have no idea. But the queer ones in Chicago are dope. The white queers, a little of a mess, but you know, but that's to be said everywhere. But yeah, in Detroit, like I wouldn't know the queer scene there. And I honestly, like, I think I missed out on it. I think it just wasn't meant for me to like have that moment there. But after this, I do want to like go back and see what it's about, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say that's going to be like your first trip.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Once this is like calmed down a bit.
Because in my, I will definitely walk in the house at like 3 a.m. like I used to when I was a teenager. And my mom will be like, where are you coming from? Like this time, I'm going to tell you I'm on gay shit. Yeah. And not secretive when I was 16 coming in the house and also on gay shit. I just didn't tell you.
Well, that's cool. You have a cousin with like a big queer circle. So like when you do go back, like it's like, okay, like you don't have to be the lonely queer in the club.
That's who I'll be using for sure. It's just like, I'm going to go ahead and same as Kenyatta. And I'm just going to be like, I would love to see the gays. Like,
let's take me to them.
Take me to them.
Guide me.
Like, give them to me. Yeah. So,
and it's not like he could say no because it's family. So it's like,
family, what are you gonna do? We both came out. You came out to me. Like, you owe me. Let's party. Get me drunk. Like, very excited.
Ah, good times. What would you say are characteristics of Chicago Black queers? I don't know too much. I haven't been to Chicago, but obviously it is a great thing.
It's dope. So the Black queer scene here is absolutely like incredible because there's things like Party Noir. So Chicago has a lot of queer parties. You know what I mean? So maybe not like a lot of queer bars, especially for like women, queer women. So there's a lot of like queer parties. There's things like Reunion, Chicago, which is super great. And then there's Party Noir, which is like one of my favorite ones. There's Peach Presents. And it's just like Black people, queer people coming out, getting together and having just like a blast. And they're fun. They're silly. They're like not judgmental. And Chicago, Black women in Chicago are stunning. Yes. Okay. Jeez.
I can co-sign that. Yes.
Black Christmas. I'd be walking around like, who? It's so many decisions. I just
lustful looks. lustful glares.
Like 15 minutes when I walk into these parties to just sit and be like, I'm going to stare at all of you just for 10, 15 minutes. But they're gorgeous. And that's, I mean, that's just another thing about dating like Black women. There's so many, we all look so different. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so many just different, I won't use the word, but like versions, I guess, of Black queer women that you're just so great. And I don't think that that's something that can be said about white queer women. You know what I mean? It's very, I mean, I'm sure they're different ones. They look alike and stuff, but they all look the same when I go to brunch. So I don't know. Have you ever done that though? Like be out to brunch with friends and like a group of your Black friends and everyone looks
totally different.
Different. Mm-hmm.
Totally
different. Style, different everything. And then you look sort of like at a white group of homies for brunch and they all kind of look like the same reiteration of someone, but different color, like different colored t-shirts. But
it's like they went to one friend's closet and just all borrowed the same stuff.
Exactly. Yeah,
because they post those videos where they're like, oh, okay, tell me that you're queer without telling me that you're queer. And then they go into like a bin of beanies.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, those friends came over and now they've taken that whole stack of beanies and worn them out to brunch.
And it's just like, pick one. I'm like, no, thank you. But Black queers here in Chicago are super dope. I mean, it's incredible. The drag scene here is absolutely incredible. Black drag or Chicago drag, I think, is tops. Like, it's great. There's people like Lucy Stuhl and like, it's just so many dope people. But yeah, I love the Chicago queer scene, Black queer scene.
Oh, I gotta get to Chicago.
You have to, G, come out here. We will take care of y'all.
I really want to go.
Like, it is.
It's it. I lived in like Champaign, Urbana for like a year and a half. So I was in Chicago like every week because there's nothing to do there. So, and I loved it. I just miss the Chicago nightlife scene so much.
Yes.
It's so much. Besides when it was cold.
Yeah.
It would make me mad because there's no, like I've frozen in DC before for the cause. And in Chicago, it's just like, you can't do that. Like you can't freeze for the cause. We can't do it.
Either you freeze for the cause, you out the cause if you take it. So it's just like
it's not safe.
It's incredible. It's great. And there's nothing like a Chicago summer. Like so queer Chicago, because we wait for it. You know, like we wait for it. So then it's like We're Black. We're queer. It's summer. Let's just like, it's beautiful. It's great.
I hope that obviously COVID doesn't water down things. Like I was having a call with like my college friends last night. We were just talking about it. Like the hell is outside going to look like, you know, or and when obviously, but just like, yeah, it's going to be so interesting how it alters things, but yeah, I got to get to Chicago. Jesus.
Yeah, come here. And I'm telling you, make sure y'all have a great time.
Yes. Yeah, sure. We're going to take you up on that.
Yeah, I'm 100% doing that.
All right. Well, I want to back up and just see and hear from you, like how you got into writing and yeah, your experiences with that.
Oh yeah. So I feel like every writer says this, but I've been writing since I was a kid. you know, but low-key I've been writing since I was a kid. I used to have those composition notebooks and, I used to write like, you know, the teen, Nick shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would write myself into them. So I would watch episodes and I would be like, there's no Black people. And I would rewrite the episode. I don't know where these notebooks are because my mom is a thrower outer and I'm the same. She's just like, and I am the exact same way. So I'm sure they're long gone. But so I would like watch shows, record them, and then like write the whole script, but put myself like in it. And so it started with that because I have this obsession with pop culture. I always have. And then I went to school for fashion. Actually, so I didn't really go to, and my minor was journalism, so I didn't go to school for it or anything like that. And then I work a lot of service jobs the past like 10 years, you know, and I think a lot of creative people often work service jobs and they're just tired of it. And then like 2.5 years ago, I was like, I want to write, like, this is what I want to be doing. And I got my first piece at Bustle. And the thing is, I always want to tell people, my shit went so fast and it's not the norm, you know? So it's just simply not. My first piece was at Bustle. And then from there, I write a lot of personal essays about pop culture, about race, about sex, sexuality. And then I just started like writing for other places and I didn't have to like pitch as much. People were like asking me. And then I applied at Autostraddle for a staff writer's position because I always read Autostraddle. Mm-hmm. It's like where you go, be like, how to have sex.
Right.
Okay. How to kiss instead of me watching compilations in my dorm room. Anyway. Right.
It's like real.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love Autostraddle because they let me write a piece about the like scenes that I would watch in my dorm room over and over about girls.
Oh, we got a question. Oh,
we read that. We read that. Don't you worry. We stopped and we were like, check. Like,
oh,
check
mama, there. Your research. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So then I got the staff gig at Autostraddle, but I still freelance lots of other places. And then it just kept moving. So I write for like Bitch, which is fucking amazing. Marie Claire and a few other really good spots. So yeah.
Were you able to like, it sounds like you were able to like immediately just come out and write about the stuff that you wanted to. Like when you were interviewing, could you say like, okay, cool, I want to write about Black stuff. I want to write about queer stuff. I want to talk about pop culture and put me in that and go.
Absolutely. And at first, my first piece was more, it was my very first piece, the Bustle piece was about being Black working in service. So I knew I wanted to write about my experiences, but I knew I didn't want to like stick to trauma stuff because a lot of the times that's what they ask us to write about as a Black writer, especially as a Black queer writer, especially as a Black woman queer writer. So they're just like, oh, you have lots of trauma, don't you? Want to put on a paper?
Share your trauma.
It's like a first date. Don't come at me like this.
I am not prepared. What do you mean? I will say I did do that for a first few months of my career. I wrote a lot of like heavy trauma-based stuff. And then I kind of reached out to a few people and I was like, I think I have to catch that now. Like I have to stop that right now. And it was incredibly hard because I felt like I wouldn't be allowed to write, you know? But that wasn't the case. And I was just like, yeah, I want to write about this. I think it's cool. I was like, I have the voice for it. Because the essays and stuff that I write, I want to like bring people into my world, but also like talk about this film and like have you remember shit too, but also connect. And film is like my absolute life. It's my thing. I grew up on it. And I think piece that kind of really solidified people knowing how I wanted to write about it was my piece about Empire Records for Marie Claire, because mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do. So yeah, it was hard at first, but then I was just like, I want to write about this stuff because white people get to do that. White yep. people get to write about yep. the most inane shit. And yep. people were like, I love it. And I'm like, shit, me too. So yeah. So like, I want to write about stupid shit too. Give it to me. It means right. a lot to me.
Yeah. And it also just hearing it, like your voice comes out in your personality and your writing. It's like what I love, like obviously just like the content alone, it's just like great and all that. Yeah. But like your mm-hmm. voice is in there where it's just like, no, this is like you're my friend in my head. Like we're having conversations.
That's how I want it though. I want yeah. to be, because that's how I would interact with pop culture. Sorry, I don't want to take up too much of the time for that, but like that's how I have always interacted with pop culture, is those are my friends. Like yeah. I go to this high school. I go to this college. Like I work at this place. These are my friends. And it's how I always looked for that in film, that connection. Just cause like growing up, middle school stuff was really tough for me. So I didn't have like a lot of friends, and that's your sort of like molding time, you know, yeah. kind of, and film was always it. And so when I write about it, I want people to be like we're having a conversation. And that like you're over and we're kicking it. That's how I want my pieces to feel for people. And I'm glad that they're coming off like that. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for putting yeah. it out there.
I was the same way as a like super shy kid. Like if I could get through a school day and just say, here is the only thing I get to say and get to go home, like that was a successful day. Like, and then yeah. I would go home and talk, but like in my mind, and like, I'm also a TV and movie baby where I was raised mm-hmm. on just like, the obviously the big screen or the big TV that you mentioned is like, that was our iPad. Like it was just yeah. like, and yep. our phone. Like, so I kind of formed that kind of relationship with TV and movies. Like, I don't really like the people in real life around me, but my friends on TV here, like, you know, are like awesome. So like, I'm cool with that.
These guys, great. Cool. Like, great. My God, yep. these are my aunt. What do you mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. How do white queer folks like respond to your articles?
Well, I think at the beginning, like I said, because I was still so new to it, with white queers at the start of my career, it was very, I guess the word, like voyeuristic, I mm-hmm. kind of felt a little bit, and I didn't know how to respond to it. I didn't know like to be like, because it would be like, thank you for sharing this story about, and I would be talking about trauma, and I would be like, why are you saying thank you for yeah. that? You know, it felt weird. Yeah. And I also thought I had to interact a lot with my readers. I didn't know anything. Cause I don't know if you know now, but now I don't, I just post and go. I'm like that on all of my social medias. Mm-hmm. especially on Twitter, I like to post a little trash and then watch it burn. Like I don't really.
Yes. That's the best, by the way. That's like
I'm here and I'm just like scrolling and I'm like, yes, burn. Yeah. But like with white queers, it was always that. And it wasn't always just on the public side of it. They would send me messages. And I mm-hmm. still get them a little bit more to this day. Like kind of asking me to like, oh, tell me more about it, or I didn't know this, or something like that. And I just was like, responded to them, because like I said, I was new and I thought I had to. But yeah, they kind of just at that point wanted, it felt like they wanted to know more. And that was their way of trying to not connect, but be like, I understand. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, no, you don't, because yeah. it's a very lived experience. I didn't. But that's how it was before. Now it's a lot more different. And I think that's just because the media landscape has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. I mean, like, especially with like the revolution, like last summer and everything that began, it changed a little bit. But now they just kind of are like, I think they're learning their place a little bit. But I yeah. think that's because it's the way that I write. My writing is, I don't write going like, this is for Black people and they will understand it. Like saying that directly, it's in the piece. So I think they're reading the room more a little yeah. bit and just yeah. being like, oh, this is cool for me to read it, but this is not for me. So like my Sunday column on Auto Straddle is a POC space, mm-hmm. but it's like read the room and you'll figure that out. Sort of thing. Right. Basically what I'm saying is I'm done explaining things to white people and interacting with them if I don't want to. And I think they know that now. So my work, they kind of don't do it.
Like, right. Yeah. That was one of the first things I was thinking was that you have to have just like a shit ton of people that just troll.
Yes. And one of the pieces that they did that for was an auto straddle. White queers are the worst. I will say that, like in my experience as a writer, mm-hmm. I wrote a piece about, I don't get super intimate in my writing because I just don't. I do in my Sunday column with the opening letters. I'm trying to learn to be more intimate in my writing. But that's also just because I'm a very private person in real life. Mm-hmm. But I wrote a piece about my hair on auto shadow, like my hair journey. Mm-hmm. And you would not believe the like messages that I got from people just being like, this is so overdone. Like black hair can't be this big of an issue. Like all this kind of stuff. And yeah. And I, but shout out to the crew at Auto Straddle, honestly, shameless plug, obviously for them, especially folks like Carmen, always catching that stuff and coaching me to like, not ignore it, mm-hmm. but to let them take care of those comments. You know what I mean? So that I don't have to do that as a writer. Mm-hmm. It's been beautiful. But yeah, white queers are the worst.
Sheesh. Do you think it's, I mean, obviously, like, even breaking this down, I just have like random thought with it. Like,
of course.
I wonder if it is more of like the white queer folks that obviously did not grow up around like people of color and black people specifically at all. You know what I mean? Because like, even for like when we talk about like race here and like saying like white queers, you're talking about a very specific subset of white queers. Like it's not, but it would take a, to me, sometimes like a white queer person that like grew up around POC folks that like, no, that's not like personal and all that. And so like, I wonder if it's, the folks that just maybe they had a class in college with a couple of black people, but like, that's it.
The ones that I kind of experienced are, because I will sometimes used to do a little bit like diving into their social, like if they said something or whatever, are the white queers who did not grow up around black people, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they got older, they grew up, moved to a city like a Chicago or New York, or whatever, and started making POC friends, specifically black friends, mm-hmm. and then feel like because they're older, because they're able to retain stuff with all this stuff like that, they're like, boom, I'm so aware. I get this. I understand this. I have a black friend. And I think people think that shit's like a joke when people say, oh, I blah, 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 I have a black friend. That's a real sentiment. No,
it's dead ass.
That white people often say, and it's usually that subset of white folks who come from East Jesus Nowhere in Montana to mm-hmm. move to Chicago. And they come to these like party noir parties and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they think they understand this experience. So, mm-hmm.
Because that's how they've learned everything else growing up is like, I've done a little bit of this and I've researched and read like two articles and now mm-hmm. I'm check just a master genius there. Of it. Yeah. Honestly, the white confidence is very real when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yes. I think too, it's like, sometimes I know like, we have to learn them just because they're dominant culture. Like they control the culture. Like we do know extensively about like pretty much everything about white people. And like, they don't know very much about us. Like we're just digging down, you know what I mean? Like just, so it's like, I hope going forward, like they're comfortable with just like, you're just not going to really get it or understand. Like it's going to be a continuous like learning experience, but like, you're just not going to get it because mm-hmm. it's too much. Like it's, you know,
and
like
if you want to learn it.
Yeah.
They have to learn it. They have to seek out. We are bombarded with it. Like you said, mm-hmm. pop culture references.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I often think of like living single and I hate putting living single friends and stuff like that. But for that instance, it's like everyone knows characters' names on Friends. Everyone mm-hmm. knows the Ross, the Rachels, da-da-da. Or maybe girlfriends, like Sex and the City. Everyone knows the Carries and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. if you say a Joan, they're like,
Joan.
Who was that from where?
And Baez it's
like,
or?
Exactly. They're like, no. Like, you know, so they have to like, even in pop culture, that's just the same. You know?
Yeah.
You can tell who wants to like learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who doesn't. But honestly, I could care less why folks want to learn about me. because I am not invested in that for this.
At this point. At this point.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was, because when I was like in middle school and all that stuff, I wanted white people to understand me just mm-hmm. because I thought that was a way for, I just thought that was the way.
Yeah.
And I wanted that. I don't know why, but I just did. But then I got older and I was just like, I don't care.
Yeah. It's exhausting. It's just so too much. Exhausting. It's so exhausting.
Explaining things to white friends and all that stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. And the white friends that I do have aren't the folks that come to me with that. You know what I mean? I have like a very limited slot of white homies and they are all filled. Like,
They are aware, they are woke, they know what's happening, they know what things to say, not to say.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. How to ask the questions.
Yeah.
And they're not without misstep, but like they just, I mean, just obviously like,
but they can also own it and recognize it. Exactly. Yeah. That's the key thing.
Yeah. That owning it makes, and because we are friends, and that owning it makes me be like, okay, I will do this for you because we've built that relationship and that friendship. But just any old white folk coming out, we met at a party and you want to message me about how to explain something. No, mama. No.
Google is free. Okay, it's all there.
I'm begging you niggas to just read.
Begging. Like we got like the white paper, like the phone book on y'all, mama. Like from the jump that we had to learn. Like we are born with like literally a phone book size of like information we have to know, like you to know? Survive, like literally.
Survive. So. Yeah, and you just don't want to read an article? Like,
yeah. Like the article even tells you how long it would take you to read through the article. So it's like, hello.
Right at the top. Read.
Yeah.
And you just are like, okay, that's fine.
I skimmed through.
Yeah.
No, that's so funny. Do you have any of those same reactions when you're talking more about like sex and relationships type things? Because I feel like you come from a perspective where it's like I read it and I'm just like, ah, yes, I feel seen. These are the questions I know about this. But do they come back at you in that sense where they're like, but I haven't had this experience. You know, what am I missing? But also, I don't even know how to phrase it. But I feel like there's like just a level of discomfort for them hearing because you write so unapologetically about sex and relationships.
Yeah, and you know what? I do get different kind of feedback from. Like my black audiences versus like a non-black audience when I write about sex and relationships. Because similarly, like there's another great person who I love, Danny on Auto Straddle, Danny J. She also writes from a very black lived sexual experience. You know what I mean? Some pieces I write, it's like for the world, it's for the gambit, it's like for this, for all of y'all. But the other ones, it's like, again, I feel like I write it where it's very like, if you are black or if you are fat or if you are femme or if you are queer and all those different intersections, you know that this is specifically for you because you'll feel it just like you said. But I think I don't get too much bad feedback when it comes to the stuff that I write about sexually with. Wherever I write, but I get a lot of white people in my like messages, like hitting on me after those pieces come out. And I'm I'm like, this smoke signal was not for you. This little thirsty photo also wasn't for you, but I don't know. I feel like they wanna, I don't know. I feel like they think it's like an open message for me. It's just because I'm writing about sex doesn't mean I want you. You know what I mean? So, right. But yeah, so it's kind of it's with sex, it's very similar, unless I'm specifically writing about like sex with a fat person or sex as a fat person or sex as like a black woman and stuff like that. But usually everyone's horny, I believe. So it's usually just very like, but I thank you for saying that I write unapologetically about sex and relationships because I feel like I do and I do it purposefully, you know, because I think as a black queer person, writing about sex is just in itself like an act, you know.
It is. Like, it really is. Black queer person? Like where are we gonna get this content from?
Exactly. That's where it's like, you know, like No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was saying Chris and I, ahead of this, we were discussing how there's so much content around like stories and experiences that people share. And again, as you mentioned, a lot of times like Black people have to write about the trauma that comes with being in sexual relationships instead of it being more empowering, which I think you hit the nail on the head with. Mm-hmm. But we were also talking about where we're like, there's still just not any like sex education that's for us. Yeah. Like it's still just not there. Like we have some people that we can go to, but it's like a handful. Or you have some YouTubers that you can go to, but they've only done like one or two episodes on it because they do need to like make money and live and do stuff. And brands are like, this doesn't sell, but it's like, it's still just not there for
us. It's not there. And what and that's kind of like when I write about stuff, it's like, I feel like because I'm Black and I'm writing about something like kink or something like that, like I write a lot about spit because I love it. But because I'm a Black person writing about it, I feel like it's just like another Black person will read it and be like, oh my God, I actually am into that, but I've never seen another Black person into that.
Yeah.
So I want to learn more. And if she's out there, there's other ones. And the other thing is like that when it comes to the education part, it sucks because there are only a few and I hate that it's all so heavily on them. Like the first person that comes to mind is Venus Cuffs, who is incredible. But with that, it's just like, there's so much pressure on Venus to be like, let's have this talk. And she does things her way, which is incredible. And when I say her way, I mean her way. But the education side of it is amazing. But it's just like you said, there's so few of us who come from like an education standpoint. Like I'm just writing about my personal shit, you know, which can in some way be an education. Mm-hmm. But it sucks with like the YouTubers and all that stuff. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah. But I will keep writing about sex all the time. Don't you all worry.
Yes.
If you are Black and you read, just sit and you have questions, you can message me. I welcome that from my Black audience and POC audience, but not from my white audience, you know? So, because I have done that. I've answered questions and stuff in my inbox.
We'll be sure to send over any trends because we do have our advice section. So we'll send over the trends that start to come through and be like, hey, we've noticed an uptick around butt stuff. Let's talk about it.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All like, those
fill my inbox. Yes. With fill it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier, one of our favorite articles is, and everybody head over to Autostraddle to check this out, but sex scenes I used to click my mouse to in my dorm room, where it just again warmed my heart because so specifically like, there's a memory
watching the same things.
Like, right.
Why did we go and review the same stuff?
My scene that came up, especially during college, because that's like when the L word dropped and I was just like really figuring it out. Like I came out in college and everything. So like that was like, you know, obviously like the handbook for me. But when Dana and God, blanking on the name, but when they finally had sex and literally finally by Cece Penison like came on and all that, like that was like, oh wow, like this scene I'm bookmarking. But what was the first queer sex scene that you saw that you were like internally like, no, this I'm bookmarking this, I gotta come back to this, like this is,
oh my gosh. Okay, so the first one that I saw that I, well, it's a two-part. Can I answer two different?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the first one that I remember seeing was, But I'm a Cheerleader. Mm-hmm. But that's not one that like stuck with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just like, oh, okay. But the first one I remember seeing and being like invested in because I was a little tramp and trollop was a little tart in After Sex with like Zoe Saldana and Mila Kunis.
Yep.
So there's like a library scene.
Oh, great.
But there's a scene in the library where they're on the ground and they're just like, and Mila is wearing these terrible boots. You know, those terrible boots, right? They're so ugly. And her outfit is very 2000s.
It was the most 2000s outfit ever. Like, if anything, you just screenshot on that and it's like, this is peak 2000s.
A white shirt and like a scarf for no reason. Like a little, remember those like checkered, like I think it was like that, or maybe it wasn't, but it was very a scarf and like a little denim skirt. And they're just talking. And the whole thing about this film that I think I connected to really was just the fact that Zoe was essentially being like used. Like Mila was this girl who wanted to like explore sex and with girls and stuff like that. And Zoe was just like, okay, I'll be that for you. And that was a very lived experience for me in college after I came out and started like, I was like any girl, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, I'll try it. You know what I mean? But anyway, she like fingers her on the floor in this library. Cause I think they're asking about Mila's ass. Anyway, she fingers her and then tells her what it tastes like afterward. Mm. And
I have not seen this movie.
In my room, I was just said, wait a minute. What? I was like, you're doing this, right? This isn't in my head. Cause I had a lot of moments in my head where I was just like, that didn't happen. Like, this is what you want to happen. And, or I would read into a lot of like film scenes that I saw. I'll be like, that was that. This one was very just like two girls. I'm going to finger her. I'm going to tell her what it tastes like. And this is going to happen. And I loved it. That's the one that I remember the most that really clicked with me. Also, cause I love libraries and I also love sex in libraries. So,
maybe. Those are your categories.
You know, maybe a little bit.
I have not seen that movie. That is called After Sex.
Yeah.
How the fuck did I miss this?
Yeah.
Like, tell Melody to add it to the watch
movie
list
night,
for,
yeah.
for okay. movie night.
You know, I saw that and I thought that was so cool, especially one that y'all had watched the other day with Natasha Lyonne and playing the queer speaker.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it and I was actually going to watch it tonight. But it's a good movie. The After Sex is a good movie, but it's a terrible movie. Like, keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like trash films, but you're going to do it anyway.
They were very dicey though during that time. Like, that was how I felt about like most queer movies. Like, because even like, But I'm a Cheerleader and stuff is just like, I'm okay. All right.
Yeah, Cheerleader gave me the like awkwardness that was like, you felt it and then you could actually see it. And I was like, you are giving me the awkward vibes that I need to then get to that experience.
You know who does that so well? And I'm sorry, I feel like I'm putting us on a film tangent. I'll stop.
Oh, it is fine.
But who does that really well? My favorite director is Desiree Akhavan. She does it. She does awkwardness and queerness without the trauma so well. Mm. So there's like the bisexual, or have you seen like The Miseducation of Cameron Post?
Yep.
That's Desiree Akhavan. But you know, I was waiting for trauma that whole time in that film, and it came up, but not in the ways that like most people would put queer trauma. Mm-hmm. And it was stunning and funny and awkward and weird. But Desiree Akhavan does it so well. The show The Bisexual, you have to watch it. It is just so, it's really, really good.
Chris, you got your whole list going?
I really do.
I have Venus writing Cup. Stuff down. Look, you're just like, let me just.
I have Venus Cup, After Sex, and The Bisexual. Cup,
like, you're welcome.
The Education of Karen Post, but also her other, she has another film. It's escaping my mind right now, but I'll tell you what it is when it comes up. But that's the main one you should watch. It's like her first film, or second film, because Nose Job was her first one. Yeah, so that's my film queer rant. Right.
I love it. This is like the perfect switch to then when you wrote your article about 15 horny songs from my youth.
Yes.
And going from that, we're just in the top, two phases where.
So great.
It's just it.
That was my first piece for Autostraddle ever.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was my very first piece.
What a day. What a throwback.
I got the job and they were like, all right, bitch, let's get to it. What do you want to write? And I was like, I would like to write about 15 songs that I thought I would be fucking to by now. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, throw it out. Like, is this how we're doing this here? Great. But then I look back at those songs. Why?
No,
because they were right. No,
that's you're right.
That's why. No, because they like, we thought about it too, but we were like, these songs are actually terrible.
Yeah.
But
terrible.
From 90s great. Babies that we all are.
80s. 80s here.
You're like 89. It's fine.
88.
You're
still 88.
88. Same difference. You round up. You are a 90s baby. 88. You spent majority of your youth.
88. 88. All right. You keep your 90s self there. But
I'm fresh 90. I'm January 90. My birthday was last week. So here we are.
Peaches and Cream
is it?
Taught me more about like just sex than like any of the, like anything. The trash porn I saw before. Like anything. I was like, oh, I nope. Like I get it.
The
like,
fact that you put Uchiwali on this list, I was done.
Uchiwali.
I was like,
I remember what? Hearing Uchiwali for mm-hmm. the first time and being like, this song. Remember that I wrote the article almost 2 years ago, but it's filthy.
It's a
like,
filthy song. It's great and filthy. Wonderful
it is
beat.
The best kind of filthy ever. Yeah. And I remember listening to it so secretively.
Yeah.
But feeling like these like emotions being, I was like turned on, but being like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
And like I'm turned on because the song is so filthy mm-hmm. and filthiness as a black little girl or not even little girl, but as a black woman is not what we do. We do, you're a black girl. You do very like, it's for this person. You know what I mean? And I was mm-hmm. like, no, this song is nasty and I love it. But it, yeah. that song taught me so much. And then Peaches and Cream, you're right, taught me so much about oral sex. And mm-hmm. I just was like, that's what shot me up.
It does.
Yep. Like,
sign me up.
It was the what's your fantasy and my neck, my back for me. Those were the two. Because the fantasy, it was like, I got caught singing it one time. Yeah. So it was like, I'm walking around just like, I like to tell what I wanna. And my mom like stopped me. It was just like, she's like, what's this about? I was like, what? And she's over here, like, I'm in like the back seat, just like humming it and singing because it just came on the radio and it just came out of
yeah.
me. And she just like turned the volume down, was like, what's this song about? And I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
I don't know.
I was just like, and I like actively was like, I can't. You caught me so off guard that yeah. I can't lie to you right now. And I was just like, sex? Like, yeah. sex? And she's just like,
yeah.
okay. And turns the volume back up. And, like, doesn't say anything. There's no other conversation, no yeah. other whatever. She did change the song very shortly after that. But I was just like, okay. that's yeah, what it is. Like, and there, it's like classic Black family where I'm just like, okay, we're not going to discuss anything else around that. It's just like
a rug.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. So the knowledge is here. I know where you're at developmentally now. We're moving on.
And
that's, okay. that's
it. And Ludacris is such an underrated storyteller too. Like, I mean, I don't think he gets his room, but just so vivid.
That song is such a nice guide. It's just yeah, like
it really is.
We're gonna go to this game. We're gonna mm-hmm. go to a concert. We're gonna find a car. And it's just like, thank you, sir. Like, but I thought that I'm telling y'all when I heard these songs, because I was always very, not always sexual, but I've always been highly interested in sex. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very youth, adolescent sort of thing, but for I sure. always just was like, what is this? And then it was so, I think, even more interesting for me because I knew that I wanted to like touch girls and stuff, all that. So it was mm-hmm. very, like, I was like, wow, but those songs, I just like, would remember being like watching some movie with a sex scene and then being like, I'm gonna do that, but to this song, and mm-hmm. it's gonna be a blast. I'm gonna come so many times, I'm gonna be screaming, and wasn't the case first few times.
But you had set the scene, and that's all that matters. Yeah.
That's the fucking scene, okay? I always thought I was gonna be having sex with candles and like all of this stuff, you know? And mm-hmm. it can happen. There's elements of sex that can be like that, but the way pop culture frames it, it's like it's always going to be like that. So,
yeah. But, do you have sex or two songs? Because I was like, when I like read the article, I was like, I have not. I don't think I've. I mean, besides like being out and everything, and maybe music was on, but like I haven't like made it effort to like turn the playlist on. And, like,
oh yeah. See, here's the thing. So with that article, I was sleeping with someone at the time. A certain person at the time, she's probably going to hear this. And that article came out, and to like celebrate my first Australian article, we fucked to that entire playlist.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes. That's awesome.
It was really funny and really sweet. Because like, I just was like, this is hilarious. That's so awesome. My dream came true to that, but also with fucking sex. I mean, fucking the music. I always have music playing in my house all the time anyway. But also, like, I love music. And I think during sex, it's just great. I don't have, like, dedicated playlists all the time mm-hmm. and stuff. But I love it. And it also, for me, can set the pace of what it's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, it's just great. And I remember tweeting, maybe I didn't tweet, but someone did. They're like, white people, do y'all have sex to music? Or y'all just be over there in silence, like, talking about it? And so many white people were like, no music. I was
like, it's like, no music.
Right. Yeah, right. Just like, what? Like, I don't know. And I mean, I have had sex like without music, but for the most part, it's always playing. And I also think that's a very POC like black thing experience. Yeah. With,
well, because I mean, what songs would they?
Exactly. I wish I would. White people have sex to Drake. I'd be like, you turn it off right now. Like, you hit that. Don't you dare. Or like to like, you know what I mean? Like good old trap, sweaty sex music. Mm-hmm. I wish they would fuck. No, that's not for you anyway. Like, I don't know. Just turn on Fleetwood Mac. I don't know.
Right, right. Like, I'm over here like, which Britney, like toxic, but is that really like telling them something? Christina's Dirty.
And that's kind of.
It's like, that was a good album.
That was a good album.
Both, yeah, wonderful times.
Good.
But it's just like, what would their playlist be? You know, I don't think it would be one that's enticing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. A little Hall and Oates and everything. Yeah.
God. I would be like, oh, I'm going to go.
Well, it's like, time for me to head out. This was
going to be different, but I'm glad that you gave me this sign early. So I'm going to go and get some snacks and go home. Okay, bye. I'm
going to 7-Eleven and head home. Like, thank you so much. And then right about it, probably. But yeah.
Hilarious. Too funny.
I love that.
All right.
Well, Chris, I feel like that's a perfect segue. Was there anything else you wanted to get in before we went to Bad Chris Opinions?
Yeah. What are you currently binging? Because I know you're watching something great, but what are you currently binging?
Oh my God.
Or just finished up.
We're giving people listening today a great list.
Also, you have, just to let everybody listening know, for the playlist, the playlist is in the link for the 15 horny songs, by the way. So, like, at the end of the article, there's, like, you could link to the playlist. To
You have too a great time. Could be having sex to this playlist. Yeah. Please let me know. Like, please tell me how it goes. It's quarantine now, so now it's, like, you're home. Just do it. See what happens.
See what happens. Take your mind. Chris, we can add this to the Quiet Says Storm series, and we'll make this an actual playlist in honor, and we'll give you full credit.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Tell the people to go and so add good. It to the series.
Afterwards, that's it. I just want to like have it all in my inbox. I can sit, drink wine, and just go through all the stories of what their experiences were.
That's like your future romance novel right there. It's like, I wrote this, and now people are telling me this, and you share it, these like, stories.
Essay book of all of these. Oh God, that would be so good.
That'd be amazing.
It would be a
bestseller.
Really cool. Because me is always, I'm like, so I'm very private, but I'm so nosy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very like, tell me all your things. I won't tell you anything, but you everything. It's how it works with Sally. But what I'm binging right now, oh my gosh. So there is like TV shows or film or whatever.
Both. TV. We'll start with TV shows and then film.
So the first show that I'm binging right now, I don't know how I like feel about it, but Flack on Amazon.
Yeah. I didn't know how I felt about it either. I saw like the trailer and we were like, me and my roommate were discussing of whether or not we wanted to start it or not.
I would give it a try. You know what I mean? Like it's a cute moment, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I just like Anna Paquin. I love Sookie, so I love me some Sookie Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then I'm rewatching Bridgerton for like the third time.
Naturally, yes. It's the only right thing to do.
It's the only right thing to do. Like I have so many qualms with that show, but at the same time, I don't have any qualms with
Shonda has that effect.
Yeah.
Shonda's like disrespectful. That she does this to us.
It to you every ball. But let's see. And then film wise, I'm going through my I'm on Letterboxd, which I have decided to start using as a dating app. It's great. Just drop me your Letterboxd and your location, and I'll take it from there. But I'm using this dating app, but I'm going through it. I have so many things on my watch list that I'm trying to clear out. And I just watched something called Horse Girl yesterday.
No.
And that's what it is. You know what a horse girl especially in the queer community. I was like, mm-hmm. a lot of people are into some stuff. Let me see.
Wait, I don't know what that is. What's a horse girl?
A horse girl is, you know, Tina Belcher, Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. I love
that's Bob's Burgers. That's a horse girl. Tina is like a horse girl, and they have all these like fantasy. It's really cute, okay. but also okay. kind of like cringy. And I went into it thinking there was going to be some sex. There is. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's not a good movie. Don't watch it. But then I'm also watching His House, which is a horror film, which was really good. Promising mm-hmm. Young Woman. I have thoughts on it. They're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Lots of thoughts on that fucking movie. But yeah, I kind of like, and I rewatch a lot of stuff. So I'm rewatching Mad Men right now. And terrible. That's so good. I love Don Draper so much, but I hate
Mad Men is iconic though. Like it's
so good.
It's great. It's great. Like you have to get past, like, obviously it's a period piece, so it's just like
okay. Yeah, it's but a lot.
It's there. Really good though. Like, I would go back so and like, watch it. Yeah.
And I'm rewatching Fleabag, mm-hmm. which is always something to rewatch. But yeah, right now I'm just kind of doing that. Oh, Dawson's Creek. Freaks and Geeks is now on Hulu. Freaks and Geeks is on Hulu now mm-hmm. with the original soundtrack. Oh, and wow. That plays a big part for me when I'm watching stuff. If I used to watch it before when mm-hmm. it was like out, because Dawson's Creek on Netflix doesn't have the original soundtrack or the original theme song, like at all. And
wait,
it's,
what?
Yeah, and it's not Paula singing "I Don't Want to Wait." It's someone else.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Why are we here?
I don't want it. I used to watch that right after it came on after Saved by the Bell on TBS. Like it would be right on. I was just waiting for that theme song.
It just is so bad. Okay, so I do have something that I want everyone to watch, because if I had to sit through the 16 minutes of it, everyone else has to sit through the 16 minutes of it. It is called Bi-Curious Sleepover. It is on Amazon. It is a 16-minute short, and it is a ride, okay? And I desperately need to know everyone's thoughts and opinions on this thing, because Amazon always recommends me stuff, and they're like, you're into that gay shit. Here's a lot more. And I'm like, thank you, Amazon. Thank you so
much. Know my algorithm.
Thank you. So good. And then last thing I'm watching, I watch it at least 3 times a month, is Clueless. Like on the constant. But that's what I'm watching right now. So
this is the best list I've ever heard. Like, I have so much to do now. My roommate and I are in the process of like picking our next shows, and do some together, and then we'll branch off and come back. Yeah. So now this is our list, and I'm going to take it to her right after this.
Please.
Oh, this is it. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to be sure that we transition over to our Bad Queer Opinions, our favorite segment of our whole show, where we just get to share what we think about bad queer things and all of that. So, Shelly, we're very excited to have you for this segment. Chris and I will go first so that you can see what we do and what we come up with. You are welcome to openly judge us, comment, mm-hmm. you know, flip the script on it. You can do what you like. This is a free for all. It's a safe space.
Okay, I'm ready.
And that's what we're doing. So, Chris, I will let you give your flowers.
I am giving first, out giving flowers. Flowers. Yes. Fifi Dobson. Should get her flowers for being a Black alt music legend, a pop rock icon. We big up Paramore and Avril, rightfully for Paramore. And they get a lot of love. But
for Paramore.
Yeah, rightfully for Paramore. Mm-hmm. But Fifi Dobson had a huge impact on my queer teen life, and her self-titled album was pretty nearly perfect. And as many other artists have experienced, like, label changes kind of fucked up her momentum. But I just want to give Fifi Dobson her flowers. Like, I think she was like maybe a decade ahead of her time. Like, she would have been all right maybe 10 years later. But yeah, I went back to the debut album, gave me all the feels, and just was like seeing what impact it had. I know, like, even Rihanna said she was like inspired by Fifi Dobson. But yeah, I just want to shout her out. I think she helped out a lot of Black queer teens during her time, and all that definitely helped me out. So yeah, just giving Fifi her flowers and everything. She should be up there.
Is it a hot take to not like Fifi?
Probably.
Oh my gosh. With that reaction, I don't know.
I know. I was just making sure because I was like, I love Fifi, but I was just like, oh, okay. Dude, are there people out there? I know. I just set y'all both up. Like, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if she was somebody that like people looked at and were like, nah.
And I just, like, you know what? More so, I just think she's just forgotten in everything. And even like I was reading an article about her and she was just talking about the struggles of like, they didn't obviously know how to brand her during that time. Like, mm-hmm. They were just like, what do we do with you? Like, you know, you're black, so it's like R&B, but you're a rock star. They're
just,
like, what
they
are you
like
do?
Didn't know what to do with people who just like branched over to other genres. And it's like, you do realize that we created all of these for you.
There was a huge, like, there is a black alternative scene and punk scene and all that. Like, she was wonderful.
It's so, fire too.
Fire. Like, go back and listen to her album
girl for a little bit. I'm sure there's some pictures out there somewhere. I used to do my little Hot Topic clip-ins. Straightened out of my hair.
Full eyeliner.
Oh, mama. Listen, I was at CVS once a week buying new black eyeliner because I was just like, I have feelings and you're going to see them. But it was just, and I loved Fifi. I remember when I heard that, that it was Be My Everything kind of one. And for me, that was a perfect kind of like alt, because it was like alt poppy a little bit. I was like invested, but I was like not invested in like the fullness of being a full alt girl because I still loved my pop music. And then I just remember looking at her and being like, oh my gosh, because the album cover, there's the blue wall. She's wearing a black shirt, the denim, like 7 or 8 belts, and then the bracelets. Like, I just thought, I love Fifi.
So great. Belts.
Those are so some great flowers to give.
I got to. I was like, you know, like, I just miss her and all that. I think she's going to release some music, but I did see she did write for Selena Gomez and Miley Cyrus and all that.
Working. Yeah.
So, you know, that's great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's just still getting her coin.
Yeah.
My bad queer opinion. It wasn't even really like opinion. It's just like a bad queer moment that I don't know if I should feel bad about or not, but I kind of don't. Because I didn't know who JoJo Siwa was.
Me neither.
Until she came out. And honestly, that might become my new standard. It's like, I don't need to like sit and pay attention to you and what you're doing for the youths of the world until you come out. And then I'm like, all right, I'll fuck with you. Like, I'm over here. I was on her page earlier. I was just like, all right, there's a lot of sparkle. There's a lot of face paint. You have a lot of energy. You're cute. Like, do you? Glad to see this. I'm seeing the memes come up of now like parents who are like, my children are no longer watching you. And she actually fully spells out okay. It's not just like O and K. It's like, OKAY! Exclamation mark. And I'm like, all right, child, like, you come through and answer these people. But yeah, I sure didn't know who this kid was.
Yeah,
I knew who she was. And I don't know if I can tie into this, but I knew who she was because I know her from Dance Moms. She used to be on Dance Moms, right? And she was always a little dope person back then. But I am a TikTok person at 1 a.m.
Just going. You blink and it's like 3 a.m. all of a sudden.
And I'm like, what the fuck? But I knew who she was from that as well, because she's like all over that. But I have been thinking for a very long time. I was like, this kid is queer. Like, I knew it. She did the little like transition that a lot of the queer youth and teens of the world do, where they like the baggy sweatpants, right? And then the beanies, and then the hey mamas kind of. And I was like,
you're like, wait a tick. Wait
a minute. You hold on a goddamn minute here.
Radar's going off, like, hold on.
So the alarm's just pinging.
Right.
I said, wait, is this little girl? And I knew it, but I didn't say anything because I was like, I'm grown. This is not my space to do that. But I thought it was cool. I love that this child is like one of us. Like, I just I love it because she's honestly, and the kid is dope too. So it's like, yeah, I love it.
It's awesome. I totally thought JoJo Siwa was like a show, a name of a show and all that until like all this came out. But
yeah, I'm old. And then I started reading like the high key things where I was like, oh, okay, she was on Dance Moms. Okay, she's one of those kids that's able to jump between like Disney and Nickelodeon. So somehow she got like a real great contract and did something. But I was like, and then saw the post that was like Nickelodeon where they had posted all the rainbow hearts and they were like, Disney would never. And I was like, you're not wrong. So Nickelodeon, get that contract if you haven't already.
The cool thing about it, she's smart because that little girl is, she's money, right? But the thing about it is she turns 18, because I've done some research. She turns 18 in like 4 months and her contract is going to be up. So I think she wanted to come out because after that girl turns 18, she is going to be doing what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean like with her image. I don't mean like any like sexual high shit like that. I just mean like, I mean, I think she really does like the colors, the energy and all that stuff like that. But I know that that's like a big part of her brand, but it feels like she's ready. She's 18. She's ready to move forward to being an 18-year-old. And I love that she's smart. She was just like, I'm going to do this right now. To lose who I need to lose fan base wise. And then after that, she's like a little TikTok star. And now she's a part of like the community. And I don't know if you've seen the little TikTok gay teens. They be doing all kinds of stuff. She's probably going to go into a house with them and hang out and do all that kind of little stuff. God,
it's like a whole new real world right
now. Yeah. But like, and I'm so happy for her. I just think that that's great. So I have been, you all know the Clubhouse app?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Well, I've been on it because I'm writing a few pieces about it. So I've been doing like research on it and going into all the rooms and all that kind of stuff like that, just to see what's going on. And of course I look for my people on the app, queer people, like queer people of color. When I tell you that it is just the most tragic space for Black queer people in a digital realm, I can't say it more, because people love Clubhouse. They think it's so cool and they're like, oh, this is a great place for like queer people to come and Black people to come and talk and network. My opinion on that is absolutely false. And it's about to become out of beta, you know? So it's about to to everyone.
Yep.
And my opinion on that is like, if you are queer and Black, especially if you are trans, queer and Black, stay off that app, because
honestly,
it is aggressive.
The Black trans rooms are like, I'm like, why come in here and allow these people to say these things to you? Like the questions, these the no filter
platforms and stuff that people do, or like come in and ask a queer person, a queer Black person, a question. To, in my opinion, that's not something I would want to do. And that's not something I would welcome, because you're very clearly welcoming transphobia from people who get to sit on their phone and do the thing. So I know everybody loves Clubhouse and they think it's this really cool Black space. And I have found some rooms on there that I go to like often outside of work when I'm not looking for it. Like the rooms about crystals and tarot and all that, because that's stuff like I'm into. But outside of that, that app is it's hard, and
it has some ways to go with the moderation of it.
And I feel bad about it though, because it is this very Black space that is kind of supposed to be so cool, and I want to like capitalize on that in a way of being like support. But I just can't. It's so bad. So yeah,
that's
not a good queer or bad queer opinion, but
no, that's great.
No, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Because we're talking about starting a room and like seeing what can happen and how we would do it and what to discuss. And we've actively gone in and like done research and just sat in some of the rooms and we're just like, what is this filth?
What is it?
They're discussing.
But I think it's all about the moderators, like, you know, because you can't just welcome everybody up and all this stuff and stuff like that. And I'm seeking that queer room where it's like you can come in and it doesn't have to be like so topic based, where you can chat about stuff, you can talk about sex, you can do all this, you can, but I can't do it the way that it is now, because it just welcomes so much fighting, so much like phobia. There's fat phobia, there's transphobia, there's queer phobia. It's just so much. And honestly, like, I was hard pressed to find a queer room or queer space where I felt like okay being. But like, I do think it would be cool if y'all were to start something like that, like on that app, because it's just all about how you do it too. You know what I mean? Cause it's cool. I listen to it when I'm like making coffee in the morning or when I'm like cooking dinner at night. I'm not cooking when I'm going downstairs to get my order from the food today.
real.
And like putting it on the plate when I come upstairs. But yeah, it's a wild space. So that's my plan.
It is a wild west. It reminds me of early Twitter. Where it was
you just hopped on and it was just
wild
like
stuff on
all
Twitter.
Of the stuff popping off and you're just like, is anybody watching this? Anybody?
2009 in the room? 2011 Twitter was wild. It was a wild place. It was like,
it's literally like the equivalent of the teacher leaving the room and saying like, don't do any of this fuck shit. And then they walk out and everything pops off. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That is so solid that you just said that.
That's really what it is, though.
Thank you. I felt like, really great about that statement. Thank you.
Good shot.
Beautiful. Great.
Good shot. Good shot there. That's exactly what I was in a room for. They were discussing T.I. and Tiny last night, and I was just like, ooh.
Don't you want to go in? Because you're just like, I want to know what y'all think about.
I know.
I just want to hear the mess.
I know it's about to be some mess, but it's also just, again, I feel like both ways about it. Like, I think it's,
I'll only do it for like 10 minutes. Like, if I sit and I'm just like, look at the title, and I'm like, let me just get the fix. Let me scratch this itch and then get out. And that's it. And it's great because like nobody knows if you're in or out. So
yeah,
I just feel good about that.
Just get to learn
quietly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I there is a queer one that's out. I'm blanking on the name. I think it's like Veli or something, but somebody is doing a queer clubhouse. And I know there's like a bunch of clubhouse like things, like basically suns popping up right now. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like there's a sports one, but it's an interesting place. It surely is. Like, even that discussion last night was just like, woof. But then it's like, it's always like redeems itself in like somebody comes through with just like a word in a sermon and drops
and you're like,
gems.
This is why,
like,
I was here. Yeah, I've gotten my thing.
Yeah. And that's why I say it redeems itself when I go into like a certain kind of room, you know? Yeah. And that's what happened last night too. I think I might have visited like a TI and Tiny room, because that story, first of all, itself is just wild.
Fucking wild.
But yeah, and I was like, I need to know more details. And some of the people who are on it are part of this in this room was like a part of the story. Like, they knew Tia or whatever. And I just was like, okay, it's crazy. And I left and I was like, God, I hate this app or whatever. But then I saw this room about like, I do a lot of like full moon work and tarot work and that stuff is very important to me. And I saw it, and it was just, yesterday was a full moon. And it was like a room of black cis women who were talking about that. And that in that space, I was like, this is what I came here for. And it was such just a redeemable quality. But then this morning, I was like, and here we are again. But it's just wild. But so that's my opinion on that app. So sorry for people who think that it's just this cool space. But
yeah. I also don't like, I mean, congrats to them. And they're running the same model as all these social media sites. But it's just like, flipping the switch on like, let's get black people in here to drive up this valuation. Exactly. And then it's like, it's worth a billion. It's like, God damn, we did it again.
Right.
We're like, we're not making any money off this. Because like, it's been around since like last March is when they launched and everything. And it wasn't really until like gaining traction, especially in our community, until like, end of last year? And it's like, how quickly it just like, God.
And then everybody was like, give me the invite.
Right.
It's like, all right.
Like 3 months, it's been this crazy cool app because black folks came in and were like, and I think it's, you can only get the invite for like this cool person or you're somebody somewhere. And I was just like,
network.
I ain't nobody nowhere. And then all of a sudden I got this invite and I was like, okay, I had no clue what it was. And then I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Interesting app though. Like, I like the innovation in it, like where it's just a social media site that's just all audio, which is really cool. But yeah, they got some shit to work out. They just it was that TI and Tiny Room is just like a pendulum swing where it's just like it's so emotional, but
a lot.
Yeah, good. No, that was a good opinion though.
That was a great one.
Like,
yeah, see, I, was like, I don't give a shit.
No panics. That was an absolute great one.
Yay.
And it makes me so sad that we're getting to our last segment of the day, because this has been amazing. And we will definitely have to have you back in the near future.
Literally anytime. This is so fun.
This was great. So we've now, as you all know, who listen to our show, that we've made it to our shout outs. This is where we give more flowers to brands and people, and just like celebrating queerness in all of its glory. But I would be remiss if this week we did not give a shout out to the queen, the path giver. She gave us the path.
Like,
she went and made it and then gave it to us and was just like, let's go. Cicely Tyson, mm-hmm. who passed away at 96.
Jeez,
not before she gave us her memoir. She was just like, I've given this to you children and now I go in peace.
And I'm good. Yeah,
that was it. So Cicely Tyson, thank you, queen. Thank you for all that you've done for Black people, for Black women in the entertainment game. And I cannot wait to read and or listen to her memoir and just like spend time to go and celebrate. Like, she has literally decades, almost a century of work.
Yeah.
Like, go back and watch things that she initially created and things that she's been in lately. Like, this is a great excuse to rewatch How to Get Away with Murder and see her tell Viola Davis what to do, which nobody else in the world could probably do. So take that time, go and support her in getting the book and sending her love to her and her family and just all good vibes there.
96 full years too. And just like to the very end working, you know,
listen. And looked amazing.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Just like, I know. I love that. I just love that she lived, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Full ass life. And that's what I've been seeing. That was so much of the tweets that I had saw was so much being like full life. Full
life.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's the goal, right? Like, especially as a Black woman, is to live like just this fullness, just this like not having no regrets. Cause I don't truly believe in that. Cause I think we all have like regrets, but still even just living in that. And it's just such a goal. I love older Black women, like, because I love that.
It's our soul. Older, well, Black women are the soul of the country, but just like, like 96, all the stuff that she's seen and
she's done.
Like,
and was just like, these people ain't about shit, but like, hey, great life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's literally saw somebody tweet, like, and I felt the same way where it was just like, I don't know why I naively just was like, we just take for granted, like, somebody's just gonna be there, because like 96 years is just like woo.
Yeah, but
like, it's
because there were lots of tweets that were like, we just thought she was gonna be here forever, type thing. And it's like, it's not, she gave us everything and more,
everything.
And then left us with something that we can continue to carry on
with
her there. And it's just the legacy is impeccable,
right?
Yeah, all it is.
Y'all make sure you get that Just As I Am memoir from a Black bookstore.
Yes,
not from Amazon. My shout out is to Jubilee. I'm late on Jubilee on YouTube, but a wonderful media channel and content. I was like binging their Middle Ground series. I always love watching conversations from opposing viewpoints. Like, my favorite show is like Grapevine TV on YouTube. They do a great job of that. But I'm a sucker for that. I love different points of views within reason, because like nothing deadly or dumb like Fox News, but I mean like just like opposing viewpoints or point of views from people and like talking different topics. But yeah, check out Jubilee on YouTube. It's a whole channel. I know that, again, Middle Ground is like the series I was watching, but they have a couple other things. But yeah, check them out.
Okay, so the first one is Black Market Vintage. I don't know if you guys know.
I love Black Market Vintage.
I love them. Sorry. I'm very like, I love my space. I am a double Taurus. I am an earth sign. There's a lot of earth in my chart.
That's why you hate Libras. Go ahead. It's fine.
Oh, I will get into Libra slander. Don't don't start it.
Yes.
In my bad opinion, or my correct queer opinion. But anyway. Right.
You Taurus. Just like a Taurus. Go ahead.
I'm like, just I like don't know what's happening.
Right,
like,
you sure
know. I know nothing.
But I love my space. And even like before the pandemic and everything like that, my home means a lot to me. And I love what I put in my space, and I like to feel at home, and I like to make others feel welcome in my home. I believe there's so much beauty in so many different ways people show who they are in their home, especially Black homes. You know, like I have like this painting or this picture that has been in my house. I grew up with it, and it was in my house for like 25 years. I took it because my mom was just like, this doesn't mean anything to me, but it means so much to me. And it's just like this like Black piece of art. Mm-hmm. But Black Market Vintage is amazing because they curate such beautiful things. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and they like seek these things out, and you can see the love in the things that they choose and what they do. And also it's queer couple, Black queer couple. They're both stunning. They're both like, I mean, not just like they look great, but they have such great souls, you know, and such mm-hmm. great vibes. And I just love to see us in spaces that usually are dominated by whiteness, and like mm-hmm. home stuff is usually so dominated by whiteness and gatekept, you know? But I love them, and they did a collab with Lovecraft Country where they were producing these like prints, and I like that one. It was really beautiful, but I love them. And so I just like want to shout them out. And they're really great. They have things like books, they have art pieces, they have like old Jet magazines, like all that kind of stuff to show that Blackness has always been here and always been so beautiful, and like to put it on display. So, and that. My second one, mm-hmm. Jasmine Sullivan. Her new album.
I mean,
listen.
Hotels.
I mean,
talk about it.
Let me talk about it.
We're here.
Bitch, I said it's stunning from start to finish. And the interludes are amazing. And like what she's talking about, she's like, it's this huge love for Black sexuality, femininity, and just like owning yourself in that sexuality. And as Black women, it's so hard for us to do that because the world wants to make us one way sexually. Mm-hmm. And Black men want to make us one way sexually. Other Black women sometimes want to make us another way sexually. But it's such an open, honest view in the world of like relationships and sexuality for Blackness. And my favorite one is Donna's Tale. It's the segment where it's her mom, I think, and her mom and her friends talking about sex and like mm-hmm. all this shit. And I love older Black women. I love when my mom and her friends like giggle and stuff like that about shit like that. And I just think that everyone, especially if you're a Black person, especially if you're a Black woman, listen to that. And there's queerness on the album.
There's that queer story. I was driving in my car listening, and it came on, and I stopped, and I was like, wait a second. Did she just say she pronoun? And then she pronoun again? We're talking about like a cheating story within a queer story, which is amazing because you don't talk about it. It's like everybody thinks that we get together and stay together forever. And it's like, no, this shit happens. And I stopped and I like restarted it immediately. It was like, wait.
It's so funny that you did that, because as I was listening to it before I got to that part, I was like, damn, this is just so dope. And I was just like, and this is a true story. I was just like, I just wish there was like a queer story version or something. Yeah. And Mama said, hey, I met this girl. And I was like, what? I met a girl. And she proposed. I said, no, wait, what?
Right? I was like, was this from a men's perspective? And I was like, but read by a woman? Like, I had so many. I listened to it multiple times to make sure that this was a queer ass story.
That's so funny what we do with that. We're like, wait, hold on. Hold on. Wait, I'm learning from my sources. It's like confirmed. We have to like make sure.
Yep. In a
group chat, like y'all heard that, right? But that album is just great. As a person who like owns my own sexuality and owns my Blackness and owns all that, it's just great. And I just love hearing it from another Black woman. And I love hearing about Black love. I love hearing about Black relationships. I love all that. It's just great. It's just like, there's just nothing like being Black, yo. You know, like,
it really isn't.
It's just nothing like it. So,
These are great shout outs. These were great shout outs. Mm-hmm. Like both of those, especially. Well, like,
great job, team.
See?
Good job, team.
Good job, team.
Lovely
That's
job.
What we did. Well, Shelley, once again, thank you for joining us on the show, for writing about us, just for being all around incredible. If y'all haven't checked out anything that Shelley has done, first of all, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Second of all, we will add all of her social media and everything down below. But Shelley, if you want to just go ahead and verbally say handles so that we don't have to have people going off into places.
Of course. I'm on Ty. I'm just like, wait, which one is which? Oh, so I'm on Twitter. I'm trash there. It's wonderful. Like, I literally tweeted today that I would like to be respectfully disrespected this evening.
No,
so
that's true.
I love
that's
that.
The that's content real.
That's going to be there.
I might use that line later.
Yeah, welcome to it. Yeah, just
thank you for
it. Drop it in a text, just or a few texts if you'd like. You know what I mean? But I'm at Hi Shelley there, so HISHELLI, and then on Instagram I'm AYO Shelley, so AYOSHELLI. And that's where you can find me. And
perfect. Yeah. Yes, go read, support, do all the things.
Thank you for letting me be
I feel like
here.
I don't follow you on Twitter yet. Gonna be following you after this. Like, I have a list as well of things to follow
all things and watch. And do.
It's just been great.
I am it's a so person. Good. If you follow me on Instagram, and if we're like homies, because I have a whole thing about how I organize my Twitter, whatever. I send things all the time. So if you don't want that, don't follow me on Instagram, because I will constantly be like, look at this. Look at
I'm gonna
this.
Do it.
That's fine.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it on both our personal and the Bad Queers page. Yeah. So it's gonna be great.
That's perfect. Yeah. But thank you for letting me be here. This is great. I remember when I first heard this podcast, I thought it was so cool. I love seeing Black folks do this. I love that it was queer, and I love that the energy of it. It's just y'all are just vibing and talking and having a great time. And also the content is always so great. The people you have on are wonderful, and I just love this. So that I think it's great. So thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
We're honored to have you. I was like, bitch, you made auto shout out?
We stopped. And we got that article alert. We were just like, what? Yes, but let us continue to sit and shit talk offline for everybody else who's listening. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week.
Take care.
This podcast was brought to you by the Her app, the largest LGBTQ+ dating and community app for women, trans, and non-binary folks. Be sure to download the app in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack, and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. It's the end, girl. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.